Beauties, you are listening to the Beauty of the Nile podcast. I'm your host, Jasmine Mobley. The Beauty of the Nile podcast is your source for wonderful skincare tips, favorite skincare solutions, amazing advice, great conversation, and fabulous beauty inspiration, specifically for women of color from the experts on skin of color. We are here to affirm and amplify the beauty of brown skin in all shades, and to encourage women of color to care for and love our brown skin. We believe that skincare is healthcare and self-care. Each episode features a different guest who will be dropping dimes to help you best care for and love your brown skin. I'm excited to be here with you. Let's get started. Today, I'm here with Chanel Tyler. Chanel is a beauty and lifestyle content creator and leader in the beauty and technology industries. Known for her passion as an advocate for community and inclusivity, she pushes for excellence in all she does. As the global creator lead for the beauty and original icon verticals on YouTube's large partner team, Chanel oversees partnerships and strategies that directly impact beauty creators and diverse creator communities. She recently co-led and executive produced YouTube's first ever virtual beauty festival, which celebrated top beauty creators, celebrities, and founders. Prior to joining YouTube, Chanel was the director of local and cultural relevancy at Estee Lauder North America. She was a strategic thought leader focused on driving cultural relevancy for more than 30 prestige brands. As a content creator, Chanel also dedicates time advocating for representation, diversity, equity, and opportunity via social media and other creative platforms. With a specific focus on skincare and skin health, Chanel has curated a safe space for a highly engaged community of beauty lovers, where she approaches important, inclusive, and engaging topics through meaningful content. Chanel's contributions to the beauty industry have been featured in Porter Magazine, People Magazine, Coveter, Good Morning America, and BET Networks. Chanel, welcome to the Beauty of the Nile podcast.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I long awaited on my part. I've been such a fan of yours for a while. I know that your passion and expertise lie at the intersection of beauty and tech. When did you know that beauty and tech were your true passions, or that intersection would be a good fit for you?
Yeah, it's actually something that just kind of happened to me. I didn't plan it, didn't like carve out a path to get there. My career just kind of unfolded in a way that I completely wasn't anticipating. When I was working at Estee Lauder Companies, I actually landed on a consumer marketing team where we were really focused. We were like a small kind of startup team that was focused on how we engage and attract and essentially engage and look to source like new demographics of consumers. Mainly, like I would say, like millennials and Gen Zs, and giving them a different experience with like our marketing, essentially. So while like the traditional beauty industry has really been geared towards like more traditional standards of beauty, and we all kind of know what that means, my job was really to figure out different ways to like really create content and form partnerships that were going to resonate with like women of color, knowing that we already had the products. We just really needed to reposition them in a way that was going to be authentic to those consumer groups. And so I used to work on like a lot of different influencer campaigns for like the different brands. And whenever we do makeup campaigns, it'd be like super easy, like to find like Black makeup influencers, for example. We'd be able to have like a list that ran on and on and on because Black women were like super into makeup, especially on the influencer side. But when it came to like skincare, it was only like, I don't even think, like maybe like a handful. And so from that point on, I actually started to really dig into like what was happening in the space and why there weren't more women that looked like me that were really prioritizing skincare and beauty. Ultimately, that kind of led me down like this rabbit hole of developing quite the expertise in the category, from like benefits, knowledge, to like formulation, to like great ways in authentic ways to go to market. And from that, my manager was like, Chanel, why don't you become, you should become an influencer. Like, you know, all of this stuff. Like, I think that I feel like you'd really build a great audience around it. And I was so intimidated by the thought of that. I was like, absolutely not. I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not that, I can't be that vulnerable and like open and like put myself out there. Like, that was terrifying. Well, she kind of put it in like my performance plan. And I know I've, anybody who's been following me for a while has kind of like heard this story, but that was like the thing that got me going. That was like the motivation that I really needed to take this serious. And it started with just like a couple of posts about like my favorite products, and it grew into a glow community. So social media became something that I only really engaged with like other people around. Like, I was only on there to like keep up with what my friends were doing and what my family was doing, and rarely posted. And I had to completely transition and like switch and like be front facing, which has never been something that was like easy for me. So my behavior had to completely change. Like, my confidence levels had to shift. And ultimately, that was like my first time really finding my true passion, which really is like the beauty industry, beauty products, beauty campaigns, like beauty videos, beauty content, like all the things beauty. And then, you know, social media being a technology platform. And so that was kind of the budding of it.
I love that. And I love that your boss, right, like saw that in you, even at like a big company where there's a lot of stuff going on, that that was part of your development plan. I think that's really cool. A very cool boss moment if she is listening to this. I think that's really amazing. And I'm so glad you did, because it's interesting, like watching you now. I mean, I think I first found you, I actually found you because we had gone to the same business school, but I found you and I was like, oh my gosh, I love everything she's doing. I'm obsessed. And I think because you're so authentic, like you said, and you really seem to understand and know, and you've become an expert in the products. And I think it's really interesting how you were inside of a big company like Estee Lauder, you noticed a gap, right, that wasn't being addressed there. And then you filled that. And I think through you doing that, you've probably empowered a lot of other women of color to like start, you know, blogging or getting into skincare or getting into ingredients. And so I'm so grateful, and I'm sure so many other people are, that you're there to, you know, do that work. So.
Yeah. I mean, it was so necessary, right? It's like, I thought about, so I'm like an acne sufferer. I had really bad acne when I was a teenager. And then I developed a bout of crazy adult acne when I turned 30. And then I had another really bad acne experience while I was pregnant. And I feel like a lot of people look at me now and they're like, oh my God, your skin is flawless. Like, I don't believe that like you had acne. And I'm like, having like going through like being an acne sufferer and like what it does to like your confidence and self-esteem, that's happening to so many of us. Like, women of color in particular, like over index and having like not only like the most skin conditions and problems, but that result is always like hyperpigmentation or like the dark spots and scarring that you see on your face. And we have become so accustomed to hiding what we perceive those flaws to be and covering it up with makeup, which is actually making the situation worse. I mean, now it's a little bit better because they've actually developed foundation formulas for people who have acne. So there's skincare, there's like this hybrid of skincare and makeup that now exists that didn't used to exist. So I'm like, I'm grateful for that. But my whole goal was to really be able to help women not achieve flawless skin, but achieve like healthy, stabilized skin and feel 100% confident, feel beautiful in the skin that they have, the skin that they're in, the skin that they're born with, because it's beautiful. Like, everybody is so beautiful. And like watching so many women say like, I've been able to go makeup free for like the first time in my life. Oh my God, like this is, like, yes, I'm battling acne, but I finally feel equipped to be able to manage it and deal with it. And like the mental health impact that like experiences like that have is like tremendous, especially on women. And so I'm privileged to be able to take up space in this area. And I'm so grateful for like the community that I feel like I've not only empowered, but has also empowered me.
Yeah, I think that's so, it's really important what you said. I feel like women of color have had skin issues. We all have skin issues, but I think women of color have them. And I think oftentimes, like you said, go misdiagnosed or not really able to be addressed, right? Or products weren't really developed, you know, to address them. So I think your point about digging in, and I love wearing makeup, but I think to the extent, you know, I want to feel comfortable in my own skin, and that is the foundation of everything. And I think that, you know, focusing on skincare as a form of healthcare is kind of, you know, what I always say. And I think that kind of what I'm hearing you say now.
That's exactly it. I mean, your skin is the largest organ on your body. It is like treating it and caring for it is a form of healthcare. It is a form of self-care. It's like all the things. So yeah, I really like love how you just frame that, because that's exactly what it is.
I love that. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yes.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about your current role, where you're working and leading beauty content partnerships at YouTube and all sorts of cool activations. So you're working a lot with like beauty founders and celebrities and creators. What about that role gets you most excited, especially given the fact that you're a content creator and probably have a unique understanding of the space?
Yeah, so it's actually great that like my professional career and like my business, I look at it as a business now, that they fuel each other. Each one kind of makes me better at that particular role or job. So I do feel like I'm for sure like in the right place. What I love most about it is that there's always going to be like innovation and newness in beauty. Beauty transforms and morphs like very often, regardless of like if we're super in tune with it or not. And especially like on the content side, like on the last couple of years, we've seen so much disruption in like the social media space, that like the rise of TikTok and like the rise of Reels on Instagram. And now at YouTube, we just rolled out YouTube Shorts. And there's just so much creativity that exists in the space. Like you assume that you can only talk about a product maybe like one way. There's so many different ways to talk about products, and watching creators and influencers get really creative about how they actually go about producing content, whether it be short form or long form, is probably one of the things that I enjoy that excites me most about the job. It's like discovering a new, in like somebody talking about an ingredient in a new way, or a completely new ingredient that I've never heard of. You also see like these like weird kind of, you see this in fashion as well, but you see like these like skin trends that will come out through like the Gen Z, you know, like demographic, where it's like, that's literally just cleansing your face. Like that's literally just exfoliating. And like, they've come up with like some fancy name that is like trending across every platform for like what it is. And it's actually something like super simple that has been around for like decades, right? So it's just kind of like watching skin trends and beauty trends like resurface themselves in like new ways, but then also really seeing the creativity that can go into getting somebody excited about a product. I love that part of my job. I'm a beauty content consumer. I'm a fashion content consumer. It's like nothing. It's the thing that I look forward to when I wake up and when I go to sleep. I am on, probably not the best thing in terms of like taking care of myself and like disconnecting, but social media is my life. It's my job. It's my business. And I'm glad that it is.
I think that's so great. And I can tell you're excited about it, because you just like light up when you talk about it, which I think is the best place to be as a beauty content creator. And then somebody who works with content creators, and is always, you said a really important word, like really in tune with the consumer, I think, like truly, truly understanding what your audience or what people want, and like that may not be the same for every person, right? Or every type of person. So I thought that was super, super interesting.
Yeah.
Were you gonna say
it's always so much to learn, right? Like there is like, I am like a knowledge seeker. So I feel like when, especially like creators, like somebody like Cassandra Bankson or like Dr. Dre, who I get to work with like really often, I love like learning things from them, like where I'm like, I actually didn't know that this product had this particular benefit, or I didn't know that I needed to use this in this part of the routine, or I didn't know that I could just eliminate this and like not include this step, right? Like I think that if you're somebody that's like really like skin obsessed or like beauty obsessed, like it doesn't get better than like content.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a sort of a related question, but for anybody who comes to your corner of the internet, so who comes to buy me Chanel, what do you hope they leave with?
Let's take a quick break here. Since you're listening, I want to make sure that you have access to all of the great Beauty of the Nile content. Make sure you're subscribed to the Beauty of the Nile newsletter. Of course, it's free. Just head on over to beautyofthenile.com. Enter your email to subscribe. It's super quick and easy. You can do it now. We'll be right here when you get back. Enjoy.
Ooh, that's a good question. So I think I'm still kind of trying to figure out the identity of my feed. It's morphed a lot based on me really kind of sort of catering to what the community is telling me they want to see from me. So initially I was like, when I first started being like a content creator and posting, I was trying to guess what people wanted to see, right? And I realized that I had landed on something that was like the ears and eyes were like wide open. Like the people, a lot of the people that were at the beginning of following me were like, no one else is talking to me directly like this. No one else is explaining the benefits of products the way that you are. No one else is like giving me that one-on-one attention to really help me with my skin, with my beauty routine. Yeah, I'm still really figuring out like what I want my feed identity to be. I think that it has morphed into like more lifestyle content than just strictly beauty. So I think when people come and discover my page, I really want them to kind of walk away being like, that could be me, or I can take up space the way that she has, or that look is really fly. I'm going to go and recreate that. Or, oh my God, I learned this amazing new product and now I'm going to go and try it. Like, I think that when people, I still want to be like a knowledge sharer or a knowledge giver. That is kind of what I want people. I want people to be inspired by the content that I am creating, but I also want them to be able to leave with like tangible ideas for like what they can do on the beauty side and what they might want to, like, so what they can integrate in their beauty routine and what they might want to, you know, integrate into their fashion, their look, their style. Also want to just be able to provide transparency around what it looks like to be a multifaceted person. You know, I'm a mother, and I try to keep it 100%, you know, about like what that actually looks like day to day for me and how hard it can actually be. I felt like I want to kind of like, while if you were to look at my feed, you may think that it's perfection, I always want people to remember like that's a highlight reel, mm-hmm. right? Like I'm posting my best moments and they're snapshots in time. What I try to do with like my stories is really allow people a different lens into like my day-to-day life. You know, while like whenever, if I'm shopping for like a trip, best believe I'm going to share like some of those recommendations and some of those deep sales that I've found, because I want everybody to kind of be able to benefit from that. I know that a lot of people don't like shopping. They don't like spending time looking from page to page to page, you know, on different retail websites. And so I want to make it easy. I want to take that work away from them and I'll do the heavy lifting. All you have to do is kind of make the decision of, is this is something that, you know, I feel good about purchasing or not. Whereas like on the mom side of things, like, no, I didn't know what to expect fully walking into this. Everybody, a lot of like mom influencers or like family influencers before, like, honestly, I feel like before TikTok kind of blew up, made it seem like it was like this rosy colored, the most incredible thing you can do with your life. And that's just not the reality that most moms feel. At least that wasn't the reality. I'm so blessed to be Madison's mother, but that's, it's hard. Like it's a hard job, and trying to balance that with career, trying to balance that with a side business, trying to balance that with being a wife, trying to balance that with like running a home, trying to balance that with trying to have friends and like manage those relationships. That is a lot, and it's very taxing. And so the thing that I want people to get is, yeah, you get to see this like kind of like aspirational highlight reel, that's my feed. But if you follow me and you get to know me, you'll actually watch me like unpeel the layers of what it really means to like be this multidimensional person that is trying to balance a lot of things at one time, and giving you like the insight that like, this is hard and this is what it can look like.
Yeah, I think that's so great. And I think that like, that's why at least I think probably everyone who follows you really trusts your recommendations, because you come across as very authentic, even though, you know, you're showing all these different parts of your life, and I'm not a mom yet, but like, I get a really big laugh out of you showing Madison doing literally anything. And I think that makes you relatable as a person. And then also as an influencer, content creator. And then your point earlier that you made about you're speaking to people directly who haven't been really spoken to directly. I think that's a big, big thing, a big unmet need, right? Like really speaking to an understanding. And how can you understand if you're not a part of a community, really? And so I think you've done a really good job of that. And I've bought many clothes and shoes that you've posted about.
Thank you. I mean, that's one thing. If you follow me, you're going to spend money. Like, it's like, there's no way around it. But I do try to, I do make sure that I post things, one, that I really believe in, or two, that I feel like we all, like everybody that follows me, they're like, there's, it's a lot of hardworking women, right? I want you to feel like your dollars are well spent, that if you got a good deal, or you got something that's been on your wish list, or you got something that you really fell in love with, so when you went out, you were fabulous, and you felt fabulous, right? Like that's kind of the goal. So I'm like, listen, from head to toe, I want us to be our best selves. It's all about like the glow up for me, whether that's like skin, outfit, career, like life stages, whatever that looks like. I want people to like see the reality of it, but also like just fully be able to lean into who they are.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think your point too about you've transitioned a bit more to lifestyle. Well, I mean, lifestyle and skin and all these things are really interconnected. So I think it's really beautiful how you weave them together, because, you know, nothing that happens to us is, you know, single dimensional. It's all related. So I really like that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So you have talked about your beautiful daughter, Madison. When you think about, you know, beauty and how she thinks of her beauty as she grows up, what message would you share with her about appreciating and celebrating her beauty?
I really want her to grow up understanding and like fully embracing her bareness. And to me, that bareness is really significant to me, of like inner to outer beauty. One, can you feel comfortable just and confident just being bare with like nothing that is concealing you or covering you up? But then are you also somebody that's willing to kind of bear it all and show up in different places being truly yourself? And that's really who I want her to grow up to be. I had to do a lot of kind of shape shifting throughout my life, and a lot of kind of hiding truly like who I was. And it's, and I mean, we're as a person of color, like a lot of people can identify with like what that looks like. And I don't want that to be a world for her. Even when I think about beauty, I think about how much I had to like, I had this misunderstanding and like this bad negative relationship with my hair, right? Like it was like, I felt like it needed to be straight in order to be like professional, because that was what I was taught. That was how I wanted to really control how I was perceived, right? And I had to completely start a new relationship with my hair and like loving it for all the kinks and the curls and the texture, right? I'm so glad that she doesn't have to grow up like that, that she's coming into a world and like a beauty environment where curls and kinks and natural hair is totally like, for the most part, from my point of view, is really accepted and encouraged, right? So that's kind of what I mean. Like it's now, even at my job, prior to this, I would have had like a full face going into the office every single day. I'm glad that I can work in an environment, it's like tech, where I can be more casual. I don't have to be super polished. I can just be however I want to be showing up that day. That is the reality that I want for Madison. And I've done a lot of work with like Dove on the Crown Act for this very reason. And she's even been a part of some of the campaigns that I've done, because I want a very different future in reality for her than what I came up with.
Yeah, I think that's really great. And you were very super honest there, which I really appreciate. I think the idea that so many is people of color, Black women, you know, you've gone through life, even if you're getting positive messages at home, you know, which I was fortunate enough to get, the world is telling you so many things about your beauty and how you have to fit in, and that fitting in is a good thing. But by default, we will never fit in, right? Because that's not the thing. So you're going against these impossible standards. And so I think you're right. Like the work that you're doing, and then hopefully conversations like these will help so that Madison and all the little girls that come, you know, after us don't have to feel like they have to shape shift, like you said. I love that phrase.
I feel that it's different. I don't know what it's going to look like in 10 years, you know, or 15 years when she's like a teenager. But I do have some confidence that her experience won't be mine.
Yeah. We just have to keep going, right? Keep doing.
Yeah, we do. Stuff. We do. Yeah. We do. And one of the other beauty kind of, I guess I don't call it a trend, that I'm so grateful has come back is even thinking about nails, right? Like first, I remember like in my first career when I worked in banking and financial services, like you need to have like a nude like manicure, you know what I mean? Or like a clear manicure, or maybe if you wanted to be like a little edgy, you could have like red, right? Like red was like a power color. It was accepted. And if you had like nail designs or like wild, bold colors, that was like frowned upon, you know, that wasn't something that was considered acceptable in a professional environment. I am so, and it was almost kind of also looked at as like being like ghetto, right? Like it was like the thing that like when I was in high school, I used to get all types of like bedazzled nails, had designs. I was in the nail salon every 2 weeks getting that fill in. I am so glad that this is something that has come back and is now like hyper embraced by so many women having the opportunity to express themselves through nail art. Like it's just, it's wonderful. And it's something that I look forward to my nail appointment every 3 to 4 weeks. I spend time trying to figure out what design I'm going to do. And it's a piece of content that I love sharing out with my community because like a lot of people are like, oh my God, girl, I love that design. I'm going to make sure I show this to my nail artist and go and get this at my next appointment. Right. So I'm glad that's, I look at it as another form of like expression for us. And I'm glad that is another like big beauty trend that I don't think is going to go away.
Yeah, I think that's so great. Yeah, just another way to be yourself, whatever that is, whatever that looks like for you. And I love getting my nails done too. So it's a plus. Okay, I want to switch gears a little bit, but I think it's on a similar theme. Have you ever experienced colorism in your life or witnessed it? And if you have, I would love to hear how that affected your perceptions of beauty growing up.
I can't think of like a specific example, but I'm absolutely positive I've experienced it. And it's a lot in like, you know, your own community, right? It's always like I've been called like light skin, I would say the majority of my life. I don't really consider myself to be like, I'm peanut butter caramel. Like I don't consider that to be like light when I think of like what light skin looks like. But to me, it's just like, all skin is like beautiful. Like we shouldn't be having the need to like force ourselves into like buckets and then trying to drag people down and make them feel insecure about their skin. Like I'm so glad that we've been seeing a lot of transformations happen where deeper skin tones are now not only included in beauty campaigns and in beauty products, but like it's considered to be like beautiful. And I'm glad that we've been able to make that transition. Do I feel like I've seen it happen a lot in the beauty industry. Even when I've been in certain corporate environments, I've noticed that like certain beauty corporate environments that I'm like the darkest they can swatch on, right? And like, if I'm considered to be light, that's a problem. Like that means that we're not getting deep enough and we're leaving so many women out of the picture. And then also thinking about how skin tone fluctuates, right? Like I have a different foundation for what I would use in the winter versus the summer, because in the warmer months, I'm deeper tone. In the winter months, I'm lighter. So you have to, beauty brands actually have to be able to cater to all of that. But specific colorism where like I like it left like an imprint on me, probably not. But then that may very well be due to the fact that I am on the lighter end of the spectrum, right? So I recognize that there's benefits there. I recognize that they still exist. I recognize that not only is it in our community, but it also is outside of our community. I recognize that there are certain privileges that come with complexion. But I do think that from when I was a kid up until now, we've made leaps and bounds to like really address that. And I just hope that work continues. I know I'm going to continue to be a part of it. But I want all women, especially, you know, women of color, to really just be able to fully embrace their beauty and just know that like the skin you were born with, there ain't no better skin out there than yours. And so I think if we all just kind of continue to really foster like a sense of skin love. A lot of these things, I hope at some point they may not fully go away, but they'll start to lessen.
Hey there. While you're listening, I want to make sure you're staying connected with us on social. There's so much great content over there too. Head on over now to @beautyofthenile to join us on Instagram and all social platforms. And join the Beauty of the Nile community Facebook group. Super quick, super easy, and totally worth it. We're excited to stay connected and continue to grow the amazing Beauty of the Nile community with you all. Enjoy!
Yeah, I agree. I think that the narrative will start to shift. And I think that, when I started, doing this podcast and started thinking about, well, really Love Your Brown Skin came from talking to so many women of color, and realizing that colorism, like you said, is so insidious, that the whole point is that like lighter is always better. So like you will never be the lightest in the room, right? That like even if you're considered light, you will never be. And that you're yep. chasing again this impossible standard, right? And then I started thinking like in my family, which I think you kind of alluded to there, like there are so many different shades of brown, from like the lightest mm-hmm. brown to the darkest brown in my house. And I never grew up thinking that one was better than the other. So to me, it was like, we should really all these beautiful skin tones should be celebrated, to your point, and that there's beauty in all of them. And that this idea that like, I mean, we're hurting ourselves, right? By like continuing yeah. to perpetuate this, this horrible thing. So I totally agree with everything that you said. And we'll just keep talking about it, and hopefully over time it becomes a thing where it's weird if you
yeah. And that's my hope as well, for sure. I don't want this to be a thing anymore. I don't feel like it should be, and I just feel like everyone deserves to look, feel, be beautiful.
I agree. Okay, so another question for you. When we say love your brown skin, what does that mean to you?
That basically to me is like it speaks directly to me. It makes me literally just want to care for myself.
I love that. Okay, great. That's a great answer. And what does it mean to you? What is being a part of the Beauty of the Nile community, which we're lucky to have you a part of? What does that mean to you?
I feel like these conversations that you're having are so important, and community to me is everything, especially amongst women of color and Black women in particular. I feel like a lot of us have gone through life feeling so ostracized, not being a part of the conversation, not feeling cared for, not feeling included, feeling like we're on the outside. And being a part of a community, especially one that's focused on empowerment and uplifting and positivity and care, is a meaningful one. It's one that everybody deserves to be a part of. And so I'm glad to be a part of the Beauty of the Nile community. I'm so grateful to be featured as a guest. And I hope that all the women listening who are now a part of this community and who will become a part of this community from this, me posting about this conversation that we're having, that it just kind of continues to grow and flourish and continue to be something really, really meaningful.
That's a beautiful answer. I love that. Thank you for saying that. And I'm just super grateful that you're here, because it's everybody who's a part of the community who makes it worth having and being a part of. So it makes me really happy that you feel that way.
Yeah. And I feel like one of the things is we don't always know what our possibilities are, right? Like we usually, a lot of us, especially like who are in like our 30s, we usually are looking for somebody else to kind of pave a way that we can potentially follow or iterate on. And when I was in college, there were literally like two options that I could do for a career from being an econ major. I didn't know that the beauty industry existed. I didn't know that it was, that was even like a career path that I could have taken, right? Like that was just a possibility that I had, would never have realized had I not made like this decision to want to have more fulfillment in my professional life. And I have modeled my career off of so many women of color that I admired, where now it's come to the point that I am now building a career that not a lot of people have. And what I really hope to do is not only inspire and take up and carve out space for what somebody who is passionate about beauty can have a career out of, but also show that there's no limits to it, that the possibilities are truly endless when you have fallen in love with something. And so I hope that all of the women that are listening, they think about their possibilities. They don't limit themselves. They don't put themselves in a box, because once you get boxed in, it is very hard to get out. And so I'm grateful to all the women who broke the glass ceiling and who have really made new possibilities and paths that didn't exist before. And I hope we continue to do that and show how powerful we are, show how amazing we are, and inspire the next generation.
I think that's such a great answer, point of view to have, I think, about just the impact that you can leave and that you are leaving. And I definitely think that, you know, seeing is believing, sort of, right? And I think seeing mm-hmm. you live your life, the more and more women who look like you, who you see doing things that you might want to do, it just expands your mind and your belief. And I feel like belief in self is probably the greatest gift that you can give someone. So I think you're doing such a great job with that. And I want to ask you one of my last questions, my second to last question, I think. If you could speak to the Beauty of the Nile community, women of color, what would you tell them about their unique beauty? Like, how would you want them to believe in their beauty?
Don't try or seek out flawlessness. That is actually something that is made up. It doesn't exist. Flawlessness is, for me, is like internal. It's not a physical thing that you can achieve. It is really how you feel about yourself when you look in the mirror every day, right? And so the biggest thing that I always try to like leave the globe community with is don't strive for that, and or don't strive for somebody else's skin. Don't try for somebody else's perceived flawlessness. Just focus on the health of your skin, and by caring for it, having that routine, that daytime and nighttime, you know, really taking the time, investing in the right products, doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of money. It just means that you're being very intentional about what you're using, and you are matching your skin needs to the benefits of the products that are incorporated in that routine, and just allowing yourself that 10 minutes in the morning and that 10 minutes of the evening to have some you, me time, where that is your only priority, is your skin. And that is what I would wanna leave, is don't strive for perfection and flawlessness, because it is a facade. What is real is how you feel internally and how that showcases and comes to life externally.
Amazing, that's a really good one. I'm gonna keep that at the top of my mind too. my last question for you, if you had to recommend one person for me to interview next, who would it be and why?
If you haven't already, I would say I would love for you to interview the person that inspired me the most, which is This That Beauty, or Felicia. And have you interviewed her before?
No, I've not interviewed mm-hmm. her, but I do follow her. So I'll have to.
Okay. So she, remember how I was reflecting on how I got started in that list that I needed to come up with for women of color, skincare influencers? Felicia was like one of three on that list. She was, I'm pretty sure she's one of the first ones to ever do it, to take up space and dominate the skincare influencer marketing arena. She has continued to level up and evolve in ways that I aspire to. She just recently came out with her own beauty line, her own skincare line that's inspired by her daughter. And just knowing Felicia, I've only tried the product a couple of times, so I can't give you like a full review on it, but just knowing Felicia, it's going to hit. Like it's going to be probably one of the most efficacious products in my routine. But I'm proud of her. I'm inspired by her. I think that she has so much knowledge. I don't want to call her an OG in the space, because I don't feel like she is, like, I feel like she's still got so much more to do. But she's one of the originals, you know, of this space. And I'm grateful to her for allowing me to see what was possible. She is possibility for me.
That's so nice. We should just like snip this part and send it to her. That was really nice. So I follow her, so I'm definitely going to have to reach out. And yeah, that was a glowing recommendation of her. So thank you. I have absolutely loved having you today on the Beauty of the Nile podcast. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the Beauty of the Nile community and the Love Your Brown Skin movement. For anybody who wants to stay connected with you, where can they find you on social?
So while I am trying to be a multi-platform creator or influencer, it is hard and there's only so many hours in the day. So if you, my main platform is still Instagram, and you can follow me. My handle is BuyMeChanel, BuyMeChanel. And yeah, I've always loved meeting new followers and new people that basically become the growing glow community. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Wonderful. So everybody go check out BuyMeChanel on Instagram. You'll spend a lot of money, but you'll be happy that you did. Take it from me. And we're over at Beauty of the Nile and beautyofthenile.com.
I hope that you all have loved this conversation as much as I have. Chanel was an amazing guest. I loved every second of chatting with her. I particularly loved her point about the beauty message she wants to pass on to her daughter and the world she hopes to help create through her beauty and lifestyle content. I'm excited to continue to bring you amazing, empowering, enriching conversations for women of color from the experts on skin of color. This is Jasmine Mobley, and you've been listening to the Beauty of the Nile podcast. Beauty of the Nile is your source for wonderful skincare tips, favorite skincare solutions, amazing advice, great conversation, and fabulous beauty inspiration, specifically for women of color from the experts on skin of color. Love your brown skin. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for more stellar information and a new amazing guest who will be dropping gems. You won't want to miss it. For more great content, head to beautyofthenile.com to sign up for our free newsletter and to be the first to know what's next at Beauty of the Nile. Join us on Instagram and all social channels at Beauty of the Nile. And join our Facebook group, Beauty of the Nile Community. We can't wait to connect and grow with you. Until next week, enjoy life.